So, we're going to start going over the graphics for the summer. We'll go over a few of them. We're going to start with one, which is titled, What Do You Expect? Now, one of the things is that they're on the site, and as we go over them, because I proof them and make sure, so you can use whatever ones that you want, but just know that as we go through them, I'll proof them and make sure that there's no weird marks and strays and words that you can't read or things like that, because sometimes that happens. This one I had to fix, for example. In any case, we're dealing with blessing, growth, and God's ordained order. I think providence is very interesting for me in the sense that a lot of times things that we're doing or things that we're thinking about or I'm thinking about, sermons, teachings, different things, I'm ahead. So as they fall out into various things that we do like this, it's providential in the way that Sidrek Simpson, his book that I'm working on, it's been sitting on my computer since 2015. So I was like, it's a Reformation book. I want to do that one for the summer so that I can have it for Reformation month or the Reformation time. I got a couple of those. So that one's called Reformation's Preservation. He says the exact same thing that we're going to go over. Exactly, almost word for word. Like, what do you expect? What do you expect is going to happen? Vincent Alsop, which I'm doing two of his works. One of them is in Pressing Reformation and one is in Practical Godliness. Same thing, almost the same words. Or emails I get tons of emails. So here's an example. I was telling her about
this
it.
Week.
This is this week, this is the other day. So I send out some emails. And what I'm doing when I send out emails is I'm sending out like a book that we've already done just to use my email system. Something that maybe we'd done a year ago or 2 years ago, and I just send it out, hey, don't forget about this one, whatever. So somebody emails me and they said, love your site. How do I get that book to work on my iPad? Now I've had people, you know, do that in the past, in the sense that they get the book and they try to put it on the Android. Simple, it downloads a zip file. You could even unzip it on your Android, but iPhones and iPads are a pain, and because iPad is very closed system, proprietary, so it doesn't like doing certain things that the world does, like a zip file. So you take, what is a zip file? Zip files, you get four or five different things, you put it inside a file and it compresses it, you can send it and it's smaller and it's emailable. So they take it, put it on their computer, they extract it. So this person says, how do I get it on my iPad? So I got this thing on the site that explains how all that works. But what do you think is the first thing that would need to be done in order for them to get it on their iPad?
Download it?
No.
Close.
What's before that?
I guessed it, I don't know.
Click on it?
No.
Buy it. Oh. Damn it. He was trying to get it for free.
So they're like, how do I get this on my iPhone? I'm like, dude, you got to buy it. Just send me the order number. You never hear from them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but that is this idea in like a really little tiny example. Blessing, growth, and God's ordained order. Psalm 128:1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways. So, what people expect. This is what they expect. So you have a fellow, a person, male, female, doesn't make any difference. And they have whatever that is. I want to know Jesus better. I have a sin I want to overcome. This is where they're thinking. That's how they're thinking, generally speaking. I got this thing. I want it taken care of. I've been dealing with it for
3 years.
And then it's not going away. I can't fix it. Or I'm trying to understand something, whatever it happens to be. And I'm really not getting it. I've read a lot of stuff. I simply don't understand it. It's not coming out. And I'm reading all of these different things about whatever that is. Right. And it doesn't make any difference what they think it is. I want to have joy. I want to have more joy. It could be that. I want more joy. Right? Or I need purpose and direction. Or my marriage needs help. Or my children need to be more obedient. Or I want to have peace at home. Or I want to have financial stability. Pick something. So I'm saying, fill it in. This is the way people are looking at it. They've got this particular idea, whatever that idea is, and they're trying to deal with that idea. But this is not the way that the Christian life is set up. And because it's not set up that way, they're missing a huge part of it. So let's do it like this. However many rungs on the ladder that you want to deal with, or whichever rung it happens to be, let's just stick with joy, right? For our illustration, the purpose of it is that it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's 9 things to get to joy, right? So what they want, or even thinking about it this way, I just want to get up to that particular point, right? The problem with the ladder is that the ladder looks like this for them. I want to get there because I'm thinking I'm standing right there with it. Joyce, 12 rungs up the ladder.
Or pole vault.
Yeah. You don't even have a pole that will get you up there. What are all of these in order to get to that?
What's the recipe?
What is the recipe?
As Owen said, you fix it on one thing, but you've neglected a universality of obedience.
Thus, I want this fixed, but I'm not doing any of these things. What do you expect is going to happen? Right? So, Jesus says, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. That could be material things. It could be other things, right? John 15:5, without me you can do nothing. What is he doing in all of these different places in order to get to that particular point? I want to have more joy. Or
other things happen.
Any other things that pertain to the Christian life. I want to worship better. I want to walk more closely with God. I want to have a better experience with him, right? What happens is people often are thinking this thought process is what we call the cosmic bellhop. That's what it is. What is that? When I say that, do you know what I mean?
I want it now.
Well, and God's our servant to provide us.
Ding, ding. Desires. Grab my suitcase, bring it to me. Then we want this fixed. What happens? It doesn't get fixed. Then they start going, Christian life is a pain. I don't really like it. There's all sorts of problems that occur in that way. Let's say this particular guy is really buff, right? And he's got all the muscles and stuff. He can flex and he looks really awesome, right?
Not bad.
So he wants to get up here to joy. he tries to climb it. You know, there's a certain amount of, you might be able to get up pretty high this way and trying to make something happen. But if you're going to do it in the way that God wants you to do it, this is not the way that the cosmic bellhop idea is not going to work. And a person dealing with, you know, the flesh in that particular way, it's not going to work that way. What do they expect is going to happen? Many treat God like a cosmic bellhop, always ready to fix our problems, help us feel better, comfort us, give us blessings, provide emergency service. That's what he is. God the EMT. That's what we call. 911, help me with this thing. But things that they are not dealing with, how about holiness? How about repentance? What else? Obedience, right? As Heath said, or submission, or covenant faithfulness on our part. There's a whole bunch of rungs that have to be there. What would be like a first rung? What would be the first one? I want more joy. Here's the first rung. Got to step up somewhere. What is that?
What's your family look like?
You're further up the ladder.
Am I?
What's the first rung? How about that? Right?
Yeah.
That's got to be the first one. Can't do anything without that. Then from that, you have somebody that has spiritual eyes. It's like when somebody goes to counseling. If somebody comes to counseling with me, the first thing I say is like, if you're not born again, I cannot help you. Let me explain that to you. Because the noetic effects of sin for them is not going to allow them any kind of growth. They'll never get up there. It doesn't matter how big their muscles are. They're not going to climb the ladder. Especially with no rungs on it. So, Psalm 50, 16 to 17. But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or thou shouldst take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing that thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee? So, God is not our servant. He's the king. And he sets down a particular road or path or walkway. It's not an accidental thing that Bunyan has the celestial city here and the city of destruction here, and the way to get to it is the road of salvation. You have to walk the path, and there's no portal here that gets you instantaneously there. Not even the wicked did it. Ignorance wound up at the gates, and he still had to walk along the road of salvation, but he walked this way on his own strength. The outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicates to his church the benefits of redemption. That's the larger catechism question 154. So there are particular things that God has set down that we are to use in order to get to whatever it is we think we need to get to. Even technically, when we say you got to be born again, the guy is here who's just coming to find out about it, and he's got to do a certain amount of steps in order to get to this particular point. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, right? Where is he?
Yeah, he's in the church.
Right? So there are things. Then we tend to miss the foundation. So being born again, how do we think about the word? Right? So you get the word. So it's going to be somewhere in here. We're also going to be thinking about devotions. We're going to be thinking about devotions, right? That goes off into another zone. So we have Bible reading, prayer, and godly meditation, right? Which is devotions. Then we have devotions applied to the family. Now we have the family involved. Things that get you to a particular point. I don't want to do this. What do you expect is going to happen if you don't do that? Well, I don't want to do this. This is too hard. Too much work.
2 Peter 1 puts diligence first, right?
Right.
On that line of various virtues that you sort of compound.
Yeah. So we could write that there and say diligence, right? Or how about we could move it all up and we could add another one here and say resolve, right? What did Ruth do? No. Right? She says to Naomi after Naomi's like testing her and Orpah leaves and she's by herself. She's like, don't bring that up again because that's not how it's going to be. I'm leaving there. I'm coming with you. I'm resolved to do that. So there's all kinds of things, the means of grace, holy conduct. I like everything, but I don't like these Ten Commandment things that we have to do today. I like some of them. I don't like all of them. What do you expect is going to happen? Aesop said, if you're not keeping the Lord's day, that is like prime number one for everything to occur in the right way, including all the sins of the nations. Part of what he was talking about was duty and interest in prayer and praise for kings and the nation. He's like, if you're not doing that, don't expect anything else to come out of it. What is it that you're throwing out? Because look how the dominoes fall. If you don't want to do the Ten Commandments, that has a direct relation to the Lord's Prayer. So you don't know how to pray if you don't know the first part. You might think to yourself, well, that's kind of a, like a lofty topic. I don't know what you mean by that. That's okay, but just take it as the broad stroke. The Ten Commandments are fuels. It's the fuel for the Lord's Prayer. Jesus took the law and the Psalms and turned them into a meatball and said, pray this way. That's how you pray. And so there are certain aspects of how that breaks down. All of the Lord's petitions break down into commandments and where the commandments are and what they mean. So if you don't understand those or you're not doing those, you don't want to do those, what do you expect is going to happen as you keep praying the wrong way? How about marriage as an example? Marriage is rung, you know, way up here. Marriage, rung 26. It's way up the ladder, so to speak. As soon as somebody is born again, there's all kinds of things that need to happen before we get up to how does marriage work and how am I supposed to do that in the right way? And if I'm not dealing with that, all those other things in the right way, anything that's being directed for me in order to do those things isn't going to happen. But I cannot tell you, all of the counseling that I've ever done with marriage couples or individuals looking to find whatever the rung is on the ladder higher up, every single one of them, bar none, all family issues. Every single one of them, family issues, marriage issues, I don't want to do it, I'm not doing it. Every single one of them, bar none. This one guy came to me, I was telling him the other day, this one guy came to me, sat down with me, he says, I want to be a member of your church, I want to be under your teaching, but I can't come to church. I'm like, why? He says, well, the only day that I have that I can go visit my son in jail is on Sunday, and so I'll miss the service. What do you expect is going to happen? People want to think about how they can create and fix the one thing that they're seeing that they think is right next to them. With that particular fellow, it's like, no, you have to understand covenanting. What is that? He has no idea what that means. It's another rung on the ladder. If we're not walking with God daily, if we're not doing those things in the marriage example, if we're not praying together, if we're not studying together, if we're not doing those things, how about just talking? Even take that to the extent of God in my relationship with Him, how long do I talk with God? 1 minute prayer, 1 minute Bible, 1 minute Christian. What is that? I don't know what that is. How long do you spend? Do this. However long you spend with God, spend with your wife, spend with your children. How would that go? Well, I only spent 15 minutes with God today. I'm only going to spend 15 minutes with my wife today. She'll appreciate that, right? Or children. Well, I was rushed today. I only had 10 minutes with God. I'm only going to spend 10 minutes. You got 10 minutes. Let's sit down at the table, ask me every question that you need to. I'll time you. How will that work? That's not going to work. What do you expect is going to happen? The gospel has to shape all of those things. How about God does not think like we think. I'm trying my best. God, go easy with me. He thinks like I do. Generally, that falls into self-flattery. I want you to think as highly of me as I think of myself. I mean, I'm not such a bad person. I'm just trying to deal with this one thing that I'd really like your help with. 911, help me with that one thing. But God says, thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. Psalm 50, 21. And so God doesn't grade by, rather he judges by truth and holiness. He doesn't grade by truth and holiness. He doesn't give you a learning curve in that particular way. So there are all kinds of things that we could talk about in terms of what does somebody expect to have happen if they're not walking in a holy way, or they don't know what repentance is, they don't know how to repent. I could say, you know, sight of sin, sorrow for sin, confession of sin, right? All of the things that make repentance up. What is repentance? How does it go? Well, if we don't see it, we can't confess it. If we don't know what it is and we're not looking at it, there's all kinds of things that the dominoes continue to fall. So not even getting up to joy or marriage or whatever, you still have particular steps in those things that make those things powerful. And at that particular point, you go, I'm getting exhausted and we've only talked about it for 20 minutes. There's a lot of stuff. Yes, no one ever said that the Christian life is a bed of roses. Certainly Jesus doesn't say that. He even says, you know, the guy says, I'll come follow you, but I got to go talk to my dad first. I got to bury him. And I got to plow my feet. Jesus is like, no, you can't. If you start in the kingdom, you don't go as a dog back to his vomit again. You don't do that. You follow, you don't follow. Follow me or don't follow me. Which way are you going to go? What do you expect is going to happen by turning around and walking the other way? Because you only have two directions, to him and away from him. There's no idling. This guy who's standing there looking at this particular thing that he wants to think that he's kind of making a strategy. And he's sitting there idle and thinking about which way he's going to go. It doesn't work like that. Either we're walking with him or we're walking away. Hear, O my people, and I will testify against thee, O Israel. If thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange God be in thee. Neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And I will fill thee. People want to be filled. They want that. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. Psalm 81, 13 to 16, right? So it has to be built as a foundation. Kettlewell, it's another book, The Nature of Edification, another one that I was working on that I just finished. It's got to be proofread, but he said the exact same thing. He's talking about the nature of edification. How are you edified? These are the things that God requires of you. Do those things. He will bless you. And it's an easy, easy concept. Now, keep in mind, people hate this concept. I'm just telling you. They hate it. But the concept's very easy. Here's the place of blessing. Here's the wilderness. This is where you go. If you're doing this, what do you think is going to, what do you expect is going to happen? This is the realm. You could just write here, I don't want to X. That's all the outward stuff, you know. This guy named Steve, he came to me when I was in, this was like 30 years ago, but all the illustrations work in the same way. He and his wife came in, they sat down, and they said, our marriage is having an issue. I said, okay. So come and sit and explain it to me, and we'll talk about it. So this is literally what happened. They walked in, they sat down. Steven says, can I go? And she's like, yeah, go ahead. He goes, our marriage is having an issue. I said, stop. That's all I need to know. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, let's talk about that. You guys doing this? No. You doing this? No. Are you doing this? No. You do this together? No. What do you expect? What do you expect is going to happen? Stephen, when I was dealing with him about that, said it was exceedingly difficult to sit there and listen to that. Because one of the things that I said, and that everybody also hates this as well, to the husband, it's all your fault. Absolutely hates that. No, no, it's your fault. Well, she, no. Are you doing this? It's all your fault. Who is
the federal head?
Now, what is that? I don't know, right? So at that particular point, I don't know what that means. So now you have to explain it. I cannot tell you over and 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 over again the look I get from the husband when I say that, but I would say of 100%, and there were dozens, I would say of 100%, maybe like 10% listened. Stephen became an elder. Took a little time, had to fix all of those things, and once each one of those things were fixed, way up here, the marriage one, it got fixed. What do you expect would happen? Of course it's going to get fixed. This is where you are. You're not out here anymore. Now you're back in here. And God particularly promises, I will bless you in those things. I won't kind of. I'm not going to tease you. He doesn't say that. He says, I'll bless you in those things. You walk in my ways, I'll bless you. You don't, I won't. To Christians, yes. Who do you think he was talking to? Israel, the church, Judah, all of it's the same. The church in the wilderness, like Hebrews says. He's talking to the church. He's telling the church blessings and curses. Oh, I thought that was just to all the wicked people. He's telling his church. They're the only ones who are born again and they can really understand any of that. What are they understanding? So, foundations have to happen. Ordinary means have to happen. Then reformation has to happen. This is another big word that they use all the time in those books I was just talking about. Reform what's amiss. Fix it. You know it. So now you know it. You know that this is what's going on. Reform it. Well, I don't want to. See, now that gets into another. But I'm just telling you, that goes back to here. Is this what's actually happening? Are you faking yourself out? Are you born again or not born again? If you're born again, you listen to him. My sheep hear my voice. Is that true or false? Is he saying that that's true or false? Yeah, he's saying true. So they hear it. If they don't, or they don't want to, it's even like talking with people who have really messed up ideas about salvation. When I sit down and I talk to somebody about salvation, even if it's like Arminianism or anything else, this whole thing applies in the same way. Because I say to them, this is what you believe, yes, yes. This is what the gospel is. If I tell you these things and you reject this, what are you doing? You're showing yourself to be lost. My sheep hear my voice. Do they hear or do they not hear? What do? They don't like that. I've literally had people shaking who are Arminian like that and walk away. They just don't know what to do with it. Well, it's probably because this is not happening. I'm not overwhelming them. I'm just telling them basic things.
Because they hate the God of Scripture.
They don't like. But what do we do with the guys who they want joy, but they don't want to do this stuff to get it? Do they hate the God of Scripture too? What Aesop is saying and Simpson is saying and all of those guys—they're saying the same thing. Yeah, that's why we have church discipline, which that's another infographic. Preventative and corrective. That's what we have in church discipline. Every single week, right now, we're doing church discipline. We are? Yes. It's preventative, so we don't mess this up. Or if we fall into something, then it becomes corrective. So this particular idea is laid out in the graphic with the ladder and those things and the scripture verses that we went over. Just to be helpful in the sense that whatever it is, because it can apply to anything. It doesn't matter what it is. Oh, I'm having terrible devotions. How can I fix those? Oh, my prayer life is really terrible. Okay, that's really terrible. While you're reading? Well, I read a little bit. Well, how much do you read? Well, I have like my 1-minute Bible. Well, okay, let's go fix that. Well, I don't want to fix that. Well, it's too much work. you start getting into having to fix a lot of these little things. But it doesn't make any difference what the topic is. All of it still applies in the exact same way. How do we walk? And what are we going to expect if we're in and out of the blessing zone? I mean, I don't even know what that is, realistically, because you want to be in and doing what God particularly has said, because in those particular places are the places that you find the promises. You don't have the promises in the wilderness. They don't exist out there. Infographic number one, although I don't think I even think it's number one, I think it's number 10 or something, but I just thought this was important because I get a lot of emails on it too.